from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Gary Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into this edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm your host, Ryan Porth, here with you. Big show tonight here with Hal Gill, Skillsy75 on Twitter. Hal Gill, the radio analyst on the Predators Radio Network. He's going to be stopping by, as well as Emily Kaplan from ESPN.com. We will have plenty of reaction to ESPN.com's report of the NHL looking at the possibility of finishing its 2019-20 regular season and or postseason at neutral site locations. Those possible neutral site locations being reported as Grand Forks, North Dakota, Manchester, New Hampshire, and Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Like I said, we'll have plenty of reaction to that with Hal Gill and with Emily Kaplan, who was a part of the report with Greg Wyshynski on ESPN.com. Before we get to our guests this evening, I want to remind you that the Preds Instant Classic schedule this week is as follows. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, it'll be the re-airing of Game 3 against Detroit back in 2004. That's right, the first ever home playoff game. You will hear that call at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. And then 6 p.m. Wednesday, you will hear Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, the first ever Stanley Cup Final home game for the Nashville Predators against the Pittsburgh Penguins. A big win that night. You'll be able to hear that action Wednesday at 6 p.m. We welcome in Hal Gill, radio analyst of the Predators Radio Network, alongside Pete Weber. Hal, how are you doing nowadays?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. I made it through Easter, and we had a good time, had a good, nice, good dinner. And, you know, it's kind of nice when the kids don't have school and have to do anything. I have to teach them, and we can kind of go about our business and go about our day. Weekdays are a little tougher where I'm homeschooling an 8-year-old, that's a different story. But, yeah, we're getting along, and, you know, I think like everyone else, we're over this, but we're going to try and do the best we can to get through it.
I'm sure just over a month ago when the NHL season paused that you didn't feel like you were going to turn into a homeschool teacher.
No. I thought we had to pause. This is now it's feeling like a screeching halt and a pit of misery. And I want hockey back, you know, and I didn't realize how much I would miss it, you know, to be honest with you, missing being around the broadcast crew and calling the games and being around the guys and watching them play. And, you know, this is supposed to be the fun part of the year. And this isn't as much fun as I would like it to be. So hopefully this ends soon so we can get back to some hockey.
Speaking of a pit of misery, dilly dilly. What do you miss the most about hockey? You mentioned how you miss it more than you thought. What do you miss the most about it?
Well, I just think, first of all, for me, I really enjoy a schedule. It's you get up, you go to the morning skates, you read up on the team, you find out who was doing what last night, and especially when we were getting into it, the playoff race and going into the playoffs, that's when it's fun, when every game matters. Every little decision has a big effect. And then the games are, I find, start to gear up and get a lot better and a lot more intense. And I miss that. And then, you know, it's when you get into that time, you put everything else on hold and hockey's all that matters. And it becomes another level of focus for everyone involved. So I'm missing that right now. It's a long year and you go through ups and downs, but we were heading into the up part of the season. And so that's what makes it frustrating. And I do miss it a ton.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the up part of the season, it was trending that way for the Nashville Predators, winning 3 straight games before the season pause. And you had individual players starting to play better. You had UC Saros really coming into his own as really the 1A starter, I guess you could say, ever since the All-Star break. And then poof, everything freezes around the league, and now there's just this uncertainty around not only hockey but sports as a whole of when everything's going to kick back up again.
Yeah, well, you know what? It was interesting. When I look through it, I'm trying to look at it through a player's eyes, and everyone's got a different story. You can look through the Preds and say, okay, they were starting to click, and Hines was starting to get more consistent results from the team and playing better defensively and starting to get their top six to start scoring. So I think things are going well that way. But, I mean, you go up and down the lineup, you talk about Saros really taking and playing really well. Poor, you know, my heart goes out to Pecorine because he had that bad outing. I thought he had played well before that, but he had a bad outing, and then he's had to sit on that for a long time. And I know he's a competitor. He wants to get back out there and prove himself. You look at Roman Josi having a Norris season and trying to pull away from it. I think he was edging out Carlson, and he was trending in the right direction. So this is a tough loss for him. Ryan Ellis is healthy, and he's back in the lineup, making a huge impact. A guy like Jared Tenorti, who's finally cracked the lineup and was playing consistent and can play and playing well. You stop his development and his trending upwards. Dante Fabro, his rookie season, he's not able to grow on his game. And you go through, you know, up with the forwards, Grimaldi just getting a contract, wanting to go out there and prove it. And Craig Smith and Mikael Granlund have contract years and want to put up big numbers, and we're starting to do that. We're playing really well. Nick Bonino with a career season, like coming out and playing so well all season. And the top six starting to click. Forsberg scoring some goals. Looked like Arvidsson was coming around. Duchesne was more explosive. Johansson trying to prove himself and trying to prove that he's a number one center and trying to take that role back. There's so many aspects of the game that these guys are trying to nail down. And so it's frustrating on a ton of levels. And I know these guys want to get back out there. So, there's a lot of inner, not just physical, but emotional. It's tough for these guys right now.
You mentioned Roman Josi's chase for the Norris Trophy, and no Preds defenseman has ever won the Norris, but Roman Josi was starting to get hot again right before the season pause and was starting to turn the tables a little bit on John Carlson of the Washington Capitals, like you said. Roman Josi actually spoke with the media earlier today via a Zoom call, and here's what Roman Josi had to say about the possibility of winning the Norris.
Just by looking at some of the other defensemen, the years they had, there's so many great defensemen in this league, and I would be lying if I wouldn't say winning a Norris Trophy is a dream of mine. But like I said, there's so many good defensemen in this league. But it's definitely a dream of mine. I mean, there's so many great defensemen that have won this award, and like I said, right now it's hockey is pretty far away right now. There's a lot of other things going on, but like I said, I would be lying if I didn't say it was a dream of mine.
So the audio you heard there, Roman Josi saying it would be a dream come true there, Hal, of winning the Norris Trophy. How bad do you feel for him specifically with the season pause at where it came within the season and his quest to ultimately win the Best Defenseman of the Year award?
Yeah, well, talk about a season he's had. He's gotten better, you know. He's just a young kid when I came in and played with him, and you could tell he was going to be something special. But he's really, I don't know if anyone saw him getting his game to where it was this year, just dominating up and down the ice, defensively, offensively, pushing through the neutral zone, doing everything, and really, it's hard to be as consistent as he was throughout the year. If the team needed something, and offensively, when the team went through struggles, he was the guy on the back end that was making all the offense happen. So, in my opinion, I don't think there's a better defenseman in the game, and this should have been his Norris season. I've seen Carlson play a couple times, and I've watched him on TV, and a great defenseman. But I just don't think he has the impact that Roman Josi has on the game and has this year, and really trending upwards. You know, he was starting to, it sounds crazy because he was dominating all year and leading the team, but he was turning his game up another notch, especially when the team needed it. In a playoff fight, he was rising up and getting it done. So my heart goes out to him too, because, you know, it is a dream come true for him to come out and play as well as he has and to be considered in the Norris. And I think this is the year. You know, I think it's tough when that comes to a screeching halt, especially when he was trending upwards and Carlson was maybe not in a bit of a rout. So I think it was his, and it should be his if they're ever they decide to have it. You know, it should be his, but it's a tough season, and it's always going to have an asterisk next to it.
So ESPN on Friday came out with a report about the NHL possibly resuming or finishing its season at a neutral location. The neutral locations being discussed: Grand Forks, North Dakota; Manchester, New Hampshire; or Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, north of the border. Hal, what was kind of your first thought when you read that report from ESPN?
I just think it's such a huge opportunity for the NHL to get out there and make hockey happen and help with the healing for North America to get out and to watch hockey on TV, listen to it on the radio, to have that outlet. I think it would just be huge. You know, there's a lot of logistics that go into it. I think you have to have a place where players can be quarantined. Basically, the way I see it, if you're in the playoffs and you're in the position that the Preds want to be in, they don't want to go see their families anyway. They want to play hockey and they want to play it out. You go to the rink, you go back to the hotel, you have food delivered, you quarantine guys, and you go play hockey. Now, wherever that works is fine by me. I really think it's about, you know, bringing in the media and quarantining the media as well, keeping them away from the players, keeping them to themselves so that they can call the games and you're not putting lives at jeopardy. But I think life has to go on, and this would be a great way to start it if it can happen. And that, I don't care where it happens. There's a lot of logistics that have to be covered, hotels and whatever, dorms or wherever you put guys and you put players. I think, you know, you have to put everything in perspective and find a way to make it happen. When they can do it is another question, but I'd love to see them make it happen, and I think the players would too. I think they'd be willing to make those sacrifices to stay away from family and to be able to go back out. And in the end, I know the owners are going to make it because there's a ton of money at stake. They're going to make every effort to make it happen. And the players, you know, they want to make their money too. But more importantly, I think they want to play. They want to get out there and do what they only have a certain shelf life. You know, I had a long career of 17 years, and I'd give anything to have 1 year back. And to miss that, like the lockouts, it broke my heart to miss those years. I'd love to get back out there. So, you know, I think whatever can happen, whether it's in North Dakota, that would be a great rink to play in. And it would be a different, without fans, it would be such a different atmosphere. It really would be, you'd be in on the game. It would be the fans' perspective would be totally different, listening to everything that would be said. There wouldn't be the crowd noise drowning out everything. They would just be able to listen to, you know, guys yelling at each other, guys yelling at refs, the refs yelling at them, players jawing back and forth. It would be such a cool thing, and something that we would never see otherwise. So that's another added perspective that I think would be awesome.
Yeah, I think NBC would have to operate on about a 20 to 30 second delay if you could hear all the trash talk going on.
That's the fun part. Like, especially in the playoffs, you're trying to get under a guy's skin, and guys will say anything. And so it would really give the fan a whole new perspective on it. It's a different dynamic, and I love that part of it, and I know fans would love it even more. So It would be cool. And yeah, you're right. Censorship would have to be paramount. That would be a tough one.
Would it feel like the playoffs though without that playoff environment?
Nothing would ever feel like playing in front of your home fans and going nuts and having the crowd going crazy. But I do think, especially since there hasn't been hockey, the excitement that guys would have going into games and into a playoff atmosphere, being that every game matters, I think it would be awesome. It would never be the same. The fans mean too much to the game to say that it would be the same, but I think guys would embrace it and love it. It would be a different thing, but it would still be, there'd be a ton of passion and guys playing their hearts out. And really that's what it comes down to.
If this does come to fruition, what can we expect Hal Gill to be doing in his downtime in Grand Forks, North Dakota?
Well, that's probably the same thing I'm doing here. You know, like just killing time. I think the world has got to realize that everything is changing and we're changing with it. You know, like it would be, you know, I assume, and I'm ready to do it, to sit in a hotel and not leave. It would be a struggle for me as a bag chucker. I want to get out there and take in the sights. And even in North Dakota, I'd find something to do and find a way to have fun with it. But in Saskatchewan, you know, like there's not much to do other than watch hockey and be around hockey. I think for the media perspective, it would be great to get back and just get some sort of a schedule going. And we'd be on lockdown, but I can hang out with my crew and we'd find a way to have a good time with it.
All I know is that I would really want to be following the Skillsy75 TikTok account.
I am not on TikTok. I can't do it. My kids are on it and it drives me crazy. And so I'm resisting it. But yeah, well, you know, anytime you get Chris Mason around you know, with some time on his hands, he's going to give you content. So yeah, that would definitely, we'd have some fun with it. And I think it would be a good angle for the media to get out there and really engage and try and show a different angle. And we'd have to be creative to make it entertaining in the downtimes and the off days. But I think we'd love to try it.
Pierre LeBrun put out this tweet today saying, a reminder that the NHL is willing to delay the start of next season until November in order to finish off this season, if possible, with summer hockey. NHL believes they can play a full season next year starting in November, cancel All-Star Game / bye week, play playoffs into late June of 2021. Hal, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I'm okay with a shift. You know, it's tough because as you get older and the is that will heal fast, but there's a lot of time that you spend rehabbing and the guys right now are on the shelf and they're just sitting there doing nothing. I think if you throw them into playoff hockey, there's going to be bumps and bruises and, you know, guys are going to need their surgery. And so it will affect the off season and how guys recover. But I just think it's too much at stake not to try to be flexible with the next year. So I'm okay with it. You know, it does ruin a lot of summers though. You look at what guys want to do on their summer break and how they train. And it would certainly be an adjustment if you're left with a month for summer. But I really think after everything we're going through right now, if you can get a playoff series in and get some games under your belt and create a buzz for the NHL and have some fun with it, because come on, Ryan, what would you give to sit down and listen to a game and call another game and be a part of it, to watch the big games, to see a Stanley Cup final? And I know it's never going to be the same. The asterisk will be there, but I just think you have to do whatever you can to make it happen. And delaying next year, if that makes it work and finds a way to squeeze in some sort of a final to this season, then I'm all for it.
I think from a logistical point of view, I think what Pierre LeBrun, what he's saying makes a lot of sense, to delay it until November and then maybe you play a little bit more of a compact schedule, extend the playoffs into late June 2021, and then everything after that goes back to normal. What I do worry about, though, is if you put the playoffs in, say, August and September, then you have a few weeks for, quote, off-season movement and a draft, what have you, and then you pick back up in November, I have to believe the players' bodies are going to really take a toll by the end of next season.
No. God, you're telling me. Yeah, after, I always say a playoff game is like playing three games in one night. You know, your body just takes a beating. There's no hit that, no, you know, guys don't skate away from hits in the playoffs. They finish every hit. They wear each other down. That's the whole game is in a seven-game series is to wear the other guy down. So that's going to happen, and guys are going to be banged up, and it's going to be tough. I think, you know, there's got to be a lot of maintenance days and workload management. I think you're going to see a lot of that if you do string a postseason. Like you said, if you have less than a month to recover, that's tough. It's going to be for teams that get bumped out early. They're going to have a huge upside going into the next year, which may be fair. You know, in the end, they're all pros and they're going to have to figure out how to go through it. But I just think you have to do something. You're going to have to manage what guys are going through the next year, because it is a physical toll going into the playoffs. And if you're just rolling right back into another season, it'll be even harder.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about all the players.
Especially if you're taking away the breaks and you're taking away the All-Star, you know, all those things that you're trying to remove so you can get a full season in.
Mm-hmm. Well, also think about all the players that have off-season surgeries because of playoff injuries and how that would affect the teams at the start of next season. But nothing is going to be fair out of this, no matter how the NHL decides to go about finishing this season, if they are able to do so. How would you, kind of looking big picture, your time here in this city, how would you describe Nashville as a hockey market now compared to before you were traded here in 2012 and had never played here consistently?
Yeah, no, it's funny because I was talking to, we're talking about the old days a lot because there's a lot of replays of old games. And so we've been talking about it a lot. And, when you came into Nashville, it was always a good crowd. I always thought it was a great crowd and it was a different atmosphere. But now the fans at Bridgestone have taken it to another level. And it's a lot due to success and having a good team and really getting behind it. 2017 was a game changer. But I really feel like it was before that, where the crowd became part of the team. You know, it was just a good crowd and they come and have fun and enjoy it. But really, now I think they're learning the game. They're on top of it. And it's not just about chanting. It's about being engaged in the game that's going on and using the chants at the right time. I always used to laugh because when I played, we'd be humming and the crowd would be going nuts and we'd be on the power play and we'd be going to score a goal and we had all the momentum and someone would throw a catfish on the ice and you'd be like, guys, no, not now. We have the momentum. We don't want to stop the game. You know, throw a catfish when they got the momentum so we can stall it. And so now I think there's a lot more knowledge about how the game is going and what the fans need to do in order to get their team over the top. And so, they're just a lot more knowledgeable. And I love the questions that I get when I do the Ask Cal segments because they're in depth. It's not just, hey, why aren't we scoring on the power play? It's what guy can we use in a certain situation and where can he, is this guy better on the half wall or down low or in the bumper position? It's not just, why can't we shoot more? You know, it's better questions and more knowledge. And I've been impressed and really happy with the fan base and the way they developed. And of course, I still love the chants and all the normal stuff that has been around and part of Predators hockey for a long time.
Hal Gill, he is the radio analyst for the Nashville Predators. Hal, keep it going in quarantine life, and hopefully we're talking about some hockey, even if it's in neutral locations here in the not-too-distant future.
I tell you what, I'd give anything for it right now. I'd love to see some hockey. So fingers crossed. And in the end, I hope everyone stays healthy, stays home, so we can get through this. We're going to have to change the way we live, but you know, we can still enjoy a good life, and hopefully hockey is part of that rebuild.
Hal, thank you so much, as always, for joining us here on Preds Insiders, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Ed. Cheers.
Always enjoy my conversations with the one and only, and I mean one and only, Hal Gill, Skillsy75 on Twitter. Thanks so much for him joining us here on Preds Insiders on this latest edition. And we discussed a little bit there about ESPN's report about the NHL possibly resuming or finishing its season in a neutral location. That report first came from ESPN, Greg Wyshynski and Emily Kaplan, a tag team on that story. And we are now joined by Emily Kaplan of ESPN.com. Emily, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Just trying to survive quarantine life one day at a time, like all of us.
Aren't we all?
The Zoom is a great creation for everybody that's working from home. But we've seen a lot of NHL players with those Zoom media press conferences, I guess you could call them. How have you kind of felt like the NHL and its players have adjusted to this quarantine life over the last month?
Yeah, just from a visibility standpoint, because you mentioned Zoom, I think they have done a really good job of staying relevant, keeping pumping their players out there. You mentioned these media calls. I mean, they had Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, every star do them. So that's really important. I'd love to see them get a little more ambitious and organize something like that horse tournament that the NBA did with ESPN. We'll see if they can do something like that. As for how players are handling it in general, I think it's just like us. They're just adjusting. You know, the biggest issue is that nobody outside of players who are injured or players that are in Sweden where there's no broad lockdown laws have access to ice right now. So, you know, there's a wide range of what players have available, their own home. Some have fancy home gyms. Some have a couple dumbbells they picked up at Target, just like us. And they're just trying to figure out how to stay in good shape in case the NHL does figure out a way to come back in the next couple weeks.
Well, this past Friday, you and Greg Wyshynski reported on the story with Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly on the possibility of the league resuming, finishing its season at a neutral location or locations. What can you tell our audience about your report with Greg on the NHL looking into this?
Yeah, well, look, the NHL wants everything, is doing everything in its power to try to figure out a way to complete the 2019-20 season and award a Stanley Cup. And they understand that they are pretty beholden to local health authorities and what stay-at-home orders are in place. That said, they realize that there could be some places that are a little more remote that lift the social distancing guidelines sooner rather than later, and it might be easier just to centralize everybody in one place. So they are looking into certain locations. North Dakota was a rumored location, Manchester, New Hampshire, maybe somewhere in Saskatchewan, where they could host a neutral site playoff. And Bill Daly told us that once rumor got out that they were looking at this, cities and venues all across North America began reaching out to the NHL saying, hey, we can host you guys. How about us?
What do you see as the biggest potential, I guess you could say, roadblocks to actually making this happen?
I mean, first question is, are borders going to be open? The NHL allowed players to go to their home cities, and a lot of them returned to Europe. Are they going to be able to return? Are they going to be able to cross state lines or air travel in time to get to the playoffs? And then, you know, one of the things I think about is quick testing for COVID-19. And that's something that's not readily available right now to the mass public. And are we going to get to a point over the summer where it is mass available and it's ethical for a private company like the NHL to secure it? Because you're going to have to be testing people constantly if you are going to put on this playoff. And if one player gets sick or one coach test positive, they might have to shut the entire thing down.
Well, not only the players and coaches, but just on the surface, it seems like there would have to be a lot of staff members too there, not only for the teams, but if this is the playoffs, if this is the regular season, I mean, there's got to be NHL staff members there too for scorekeeping purposes, media. I mean, there's a lot of people that would still be involved in this.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I think we're largely surmising that if they do stage a playoff this summer, it would be without fans or with very limited fans. But you're right, that doesn't mean that it's going to be a very small group. It's not just, you know, the players on the ice and the coach, and that's it, maybe a trainer. There's so many people that go into making the operations of an NHL game happen. Zamboni drivers, media, trainers, equipment managers. It probably, you know, I wouldn't want to even put a number, but I'd have to guess there's like maybe 200 essential people per game. I did put out a number.
Wow. That's a pretty high number to keep quarantined at all times, even in a remote location. Do you think the players would go for something like this?
I do. I think that players largely would love to get back on the ice, and so many of the teams have battled so hard, like the Predators all season, just to get a playoff spot. They know how important it is for the league to make up those revenue and just stay visible, and they just want to play, frankly. So I think players would love an opportunity to do it, and they know that the NHL, or they have belief that the NHL wouldn't put them into a situation that would put them in harm's way. The NHL has been in constant communication with the NHLPA, so they've got the players' interests in mind.
What was your impression from Bill Daly regarding the economic importance of finishing this regular season in addition to the postseason?
Yeah, it's huge. There's no bones about it. You know, in the beginning of March, I was at the GM meetings in Boca Raton, and they were, having the projected salary cap for next year, and it was going to go up by a minimum of 3%. They were touting that the league was healthier than ever, and if you do lose, if the NHL season were to end when it ended on March 11th, we're projecting about $1 billion lost in revenue. And that's not insignificant for a league like the NHL. So they're fully aware that this is going to impact a lot of things moving forward. They're still expecting to welcome Seattle in. They're still expecting to have a high salary cap. It'll probably be an artificial number because it's not based off of revenues of this past year. But they know there's going to be, we don't know what the economics of this country or this continent are going to look like when we come out of this. So, reducing season ticket prices, things like that are things that are on all teams' minds right now.
There have been a lot of ideas thrown out there regarding how the NHL should finish the Stanley Cup playoffs. What, in your mind, what's kind of the best idea you've heard or that you've thought of?
I've been canceling it now and just trying to begin next season on time. Sounds good to me. But that said, I do understand the importance of trying to finish it. Just a truncated playoff series, I think they should just take the top 16 teams based off point percentage, and that's what it is. Maybe 3 or 5 game series in the beginning just to move through the game. And if they're at a neutral site, what I'd love to see is, 10 a.m. games, noon games, kind of stash the calendar because we're all at home anyway, having nothing to do.
That's right. So Kings defenseman Drew Doughty today said that he'd be surprised if the NHL finished its season, just kind of looking at the big picture. Do you personally see it that way as well?
I do. I share Drew Doughty's thoughts. I just think with the projections that we've seen about this virus and how much unknown, it's just so many moving parts to be able to say it is clear and safe to stage NHL playoff games as soon as June or July and even August. I just think there's too many moving parts, and I have a hard time envisioning it. That said, I've never lived through this. It's unprecedented, and nothing would surprise me at this point.
Yeah, it'd be a pretty big black eye for not only the NHL, but other leagues as well, if they came back and then someone came down with COVID-19 and they had to shut down again.
For sure.
Emily Kaplan is a reporter for ESPN.com for the National Hockey League. Emily, thank you so much, as always, for joining us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Stay well.
You too. Thanks to Emily Kaplan, and thanks again to Hal Gill earlier in the program for joining me here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and TheGameNashville.com. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Wyatt Johnson Ford, Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Carrie Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville. That's all we have here on Preds Insiders. We will talk to you again soon. Stay safe, Nashville. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.